and welcome to episode 293 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, writer of Murder Road, and joining me as always, the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the influence for On the Buses, no, he's not really, but he's our favourite, Tony Esmond.
Hello.
Wow, that was a real Blue Peter hello, Tony.
I make it blue.
Oh, God. And this week, we are also very pleased to be joined by an artist and creator of Maybe I'm Dreadful, but it is All Awful, and her latest book is a recent fave of us and many of our listeners, Hauntings. Welcome to the show, Lise Richardson.
Thank you. Hello.
Hey, Lise. Yeah, we had a drink and draw on Friday, and there was a few people in that room who bought your book.
Oh, how lovely! I think probably there's like a very small niche of people who all know each other who have it.
Surely not. No. Surely, are it you saying the small press community just buys each other's books all the time? Surely
what?
Not.
No.
Never.
Lise is with us for the whole show, and we'll be talking about her work as well as some interesting topics, such as utilising other tools such as Patreon and Twitch to reach your audience in just a bit. It's something I know Dan's, obviously, he knows about all that stuff as well. But me and Tony, we are like babes in the wood, Tony, aren't we?
No, I've got a clue about that.
We don't know anything about technology. Well, apart from I know we do this show, but I literally just hit record and then whatever happens,
that's all
happens.
I do. Well, yeah. I try and edit things and all I do is ring you up and going, what do I do now, Vince? That tends to be how it goes.
Yeah, just press delete. And go to sleep. So we've got plenty more fun to come, and hopefully maybe some information. We've got all our silly, I would say we've got all our silly jokes out before we start recording.
Not gonna happen. That's not true. That's not true. The whole show's a silly joke.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what isn't a joke?
Comic House.
The amount of choice you can get on Comic House, our lovely sponsors, and the indie comic marketplace with a difference. Why are you laughing immediately, Tony? I thought
so
I was going
slick.
Really well.
You've gone Partridge so
no,
early.
No, what are you talking about? That was almost professional.
That was very slick. I said that's the second week I think we've been slick. Last week was slick AF, wasn't it?
That was pure.
It was.
Podcasting.
But this week it's gone tits up.
You just slid right into it there.
Oh, God. Yes, the Comic House are our sponsor. If you go to comichouse.com, there's a huge selection of titles on the database. They put up with us doing these terrible sponsorship ads every week. God
they
bless them.
They like it.
Yeah. They tell us they like it, but, you know.
Yeah, but the people who love you lie to you a lot, don't they? That's the thing.
Oh, well,
Pete's words say one thing, his eyes say another.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think both of you have got some issues to work out, guys. But we'll talk about that later.
You sent me a hat.
Yeah, I'm
Dan's
wearing that hat.
Yeah, Dan's got his hat on, which people can't see because this isn't a video show. But
Dan's got these Bluetooth headphones that mean he laughs when he wanders about the house because we witnessed it earlier.
Yeah, you may get a little bit of audio at the end where Dan just randomly laughs to himself. Which then made me and Tony laugh for about 30 seconds straight. I don't know why. Laughter's infectious.
If they want a new Comic House beanie hat, like the one I'm sporting, they can go to the Comic House website and there's a photo of me sporting the beanie.
Oh, yes. That GQ Man of the Year photo. Amazing. Yes, go to comichouse.com because it's getting colder, folks. So you need a beanie hat like this. But also, with the website, there's loads of self-published books on there. If you self-publish your own work, you can list your book on there and start selling straight away. Also, they've got an app, and in the world of digital comics, especially when you can't get to a comic book shop easy, they are...
It's all about now apps.
Yeah, it's all about apps. Yep. I mean, we have
absolutely.
Don't get better than that. Don't get better than that.
It does.
Copyright that.
Yeah. Copyright that, Dan. Remember, I'll do a timestamp. But yes... The Comic House app is like Netflix for comics, basically. £3 a month subscription, which is literally cheaper than 90% of the weekly released digital comics.
Oh my God, I bought a comic today. It was £5.59.
You are a knob. Why did you do that?
I'll admit that completely. I'm a knob.
Why? Ah, yeah. But we won't talk about what the book is. But no. I don't know why you did that, Tony. But, I mean, because for £3 a month, if you weren't a subscriber to Comic House, you could subscribe to
Don't be a fool like Esmond. Go on Comic House.
Oh, that's a I'll tell you what, that's a tube poster, if ever I've seen one. You get access to an enormous library of digital indie comics. Like, what sort of stuff is on there at the moment, Dan?
We've got Drips Volume 1, That Comic Smell Volume 1.
From
the chaps up north. We've got Blood Brothers Volume 1, the gratuitous prequel. Cthulhu Invades Oz Volume 1. That looks interesting. Cthulhu in the World of Oz.
Oh my God, got I Spring bet that's Hill a head Jack. Trip.
What, the prison? Yeah.
No, not the prison.
No, God. Frank Baum's Oz.
Oh, okay.
Right. On the cover, he's smashing up the Yellow Brick Road, which is some people wanted to do.
What are you going
to
say then?
Yeah. we got The Misadventures of Spring Hill Jack, issue 1 and 2, which is absolutely awesome. They're great comics. And we got The Enlightenment Gun, Volume 5, which has got arguably the strangest cover I've seen on a comic in a little while, by
what?
Rupert Francis.
Really? Oh, we need to check this out then.
Have a look at that. So, like, I always worry about turning the Comic House app on to look at anything because it like an advert comes up, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that advert is like literally like
only on the air. I don't mean when I'm reading it. I just mean when
Oh, what you mean, like just in case anyone hears it?
Yeah.
And
no,
everyone realizes you're actually playing Candy Crush.
Oh,
I don't know what Candy Crush is. I've never played it.
If you look in the Skype chat, you can see the comic there, or go onto the Comic House website, where you can not only look at what's on the digital app, you can also buy the comics you're looking at on the digital app. Hey, Vince.
I don't mind that cover.
Dan.
I think that's all right, that cover.
Dan, what's happening to you, man?
He's gone slick, hasn't
he? This is amazing. This is like... Did you have a training montage over the weekend to like really sort of...
You've been to a TED talk.
I just... before I did anything, I spoke like I was narrating, you know, like in Truman Show.
Yeah,
like I was talking to a third person, hidden camera on everything I was doing.
What's that one? And he didn't realise, but in 12 hours he would be dead. That one, Will Ferrell. What's that one?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, Stranger Than Fiction. Love that.
That's
film.
A good book. That's a good film, three. Yeah.
And Comic House is a great website. Go to comichouse.com, find out more, and start a 14-day free trial and get stuck into the amazing world of small press we talk about every week.
I'm going to read that Enlightenment Gun. I like the look of that cover.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. There you go. That's Thank one you. Read.
So. Can you judge a comic by its cover?
Oh, no, because we have this talk.
It's kind of the point, isn't it?
What do you mean, kind of the point?
Well, you've got to buy it, and you've got to pick it up and buy it. And these days, when you can't look at it on a shelf, you've got to kind of buy it off a website, haven't you?
Mm, true, but that's why
important.
That's the importance of like thumbnails of like the pages and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, different world.
Yeah, it's true. Like, if you've got an online shop, and Lise, I know you've got an online shop, you have like thumbnails of interior pages as well as like covers as well, don't you?
Just a
couple. Well actually that is a an interesting thing, because I switched from having a paid shop to having a free shop just for many reasons, and I can't have all the interior thumbnails now. I've done a workaround on Hauntings, which does have
it's a single image you did on Hauntings, isn't it? Because I used it when I did the review, Lise. So it's you put them all in a single image, and I had to snip them out. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. I wonder why that was.
Yeah. No. It's entirely a cost cutting measure, because my margins are so slim, and I cannot afford to run a paid online shop at the moment. So yeah, it's tough. It's hard to sort of show people what the comic is, but also, you know, have like that cover image.
Yeah, I think that's a good word, friend. Though what you've got there, you know, people may think that because they've only got one image, you know, oh, what can I do with it? Well, it's still one image. You could put lots of different bits of the book.
Yeah, exactly. I think the thing with your book is, what we'll get to, I'm sure, is the cover is visually different from the interiors, isn't it? The cover's more sort of iconic, and the interiors are more traditional, almost. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like Hauntings, you've seen it. It's kind of a weird format where you can't like open it and see a full, you know, story or whatever. It's all single images. So it's very tough to represent what the whole thing is. Even if I had all the thumbnails, like I don't know how I'd be able to do that in a shop format.
Mm. Yeah, I get you. Yeah. It's got to give a taster, isn't it? I know Comixology tends to put, is it the first three interior pages?
Yeah,
isn't it, I think.
Yeah. Which has sometimes put me off buying a book, and has sometimes absolutely sold me on a book.
Yeah, I always look at them now. I never just buy from the cover. Yeah.
Because but that's good, isn't it? Because then you're getting a book you want to read, as opposed to feeling like you've been duped.
Yeah.
Look at the amount. You know what I mean? I mean, God bless Dynamite, but they used to have a lot of very good covers by people like Alex Ross, and you'd open them and you go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so.
yeah, And we've all had the convention experience where there's an amazing cover and you pick it up and then you look through and then you've got that awkward moment of, how do I walk away? How do I put this book down and walk away in a nice way?
Just throw it down.
Without going, oh, God.
I can't control my face, though, sometimes.
No, what do you mean sometimes? It's most of the time.
Yeah.
The worst is the silent putback when they just look through the whole thing and then silently put it back and wander off. That's the worst reaction I've had.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's the most heartbreaking one, isn't it? Especially when they look at it for a decent amount of time. And then just
we had a table next to you, Lise, didn't we?
Once.
Bam. So you're well aware of our nonsense.
I know the vibe.
That's the first time it's been called a vibe, Tony.
That's cool. That's quite cool. I like that.
Yeah. Normally it's like a scent or
a potent dollop. Energy.
Yeah. Never a dollop.
Oh dear! But this is a good chance to start off with your work as well, Liz. Because like I know when we asked you onto this show, and you did the very humble response of, but I don't, you know, I'm not sure if I do the sort of like a normal sort of comic sort of work and stuff. To which I was like, give over. Your work's amazing, and you do comics, so you're coming on the show. Simple as that.
He bullies me like that, Liz.
I'm just glad that you even considered me.
No, anyone who's seen your work wants to know more about it, because it is, and certainly with Hauntings becoming sort of a mini sort of a viral sensation. I noticed, because, and it will also lead into the Patreon chat that we're going to have, because it was first on your Patreon. It was first available to Patreon. Hauntings is basically a book about... how would you describe the Hauntings itself?
Hauntings is it's autobiographical, so it's sort of well, you've read my previous comics, which are diary sort of short diary strips. Hauntings is kind of the next logical step from there, which is they are also short, but it's autobiographical, semi-fictional ghost stories in 8 panels. So it's kind of it's not really an anthology, but it's kind of got the energy of an anthology. It's all kind of centered around very much the same situation, just different times of year and slightly different sort of hauntings. Why the title is that.
But it does also, that sort of energy and atmosphere you're talking about, the way that the stories sort of differ in their, you know, their colours, their atmosphere, their mood or things like that, it does bring to mind, you know, most classic ghost stories come in a small collection. Do you know what I mean? They're always short stories, the classic ghost stories, aren't they?
Absolutely. So M.R. James is the biggest influence for the whole thing. A couple of years ago, I got really into folk horror and M.R. James specifically, and that's kind of led me to even thinking about putting together something with the sort of same setup, where you get like different stories in one collection.
Yeah. And there's lots of different flavors going on, and like, you know, moods and seasons. And it's all, I mean for me, a lot of it's based around Bath and the area. So and the artwork is also, it's an evolution of your work as well, isn't it? Going from that like Maybe I'm Dreadful sort of works, which was the sort of more, I don't want to say cartoonish, but you know, it's almost like that 4-panel sort of jokey strips. Whereas this is, you've got luscious fields and watercolours and all kinds. You know, this is a real evolution of your storytelling, isn't it?
Well, it comes from a similar place, but what I would say is that for many years before I was doing even Maybe I'm Dreadful, I was an illustrator first and foremost.
Yeah.
And kind of comics came later to that, and so this is kind of a marriage of the two things that I was doing in years leading up to it. So it's sort of where the characters are still very similar, like the way I draw myself is still very similar to the 3-panel comic strips. The full illustrated pages is what I was doing in my sort of normal illustration work, if you would call it.
That's something I wanted to ask you about, because there's a counterpoint there, isn't it? You've got very rich backgrounds that are perhaps a little bit more realistic than you in the foreground almost, which is a little bit more cartoony. Was that on purpose, was it?
Yeah, so basically where it all started from for Hauntings was that I, at the beginning of the pandemic, stopped doing my diary comics,
right,
because it felt too bleak to do the kind of daily, this is what my life is thing. But I still wanted to bring the character of that into something that was completely detached. Well, not completely detached, but like wasn't really dealing with the current events.
The day-to-day nonsense. Yeah, yeah. We're all exactly. suffering, aren't we? Yeah, I get you. Mm. Yeah.
So it was kind of... people on my Patreon particularly, I think, were more familiar with sort of that as my portrayal of myself, and so it was sort of, it's still me, but let's do some escapism.
Okay,
yeah,
fair enough.
But also, like you say, autobiographical as well. Do you know what I mean? It's escapism, and we've talked about this on the show, but each page of this book, is just a standalone print by itself.
Yeah, we said that. We'd have any of them on our wall. Yeah, my favourite's the one with the big sun in the background, Lisa. I have to say, I really like that page.
Thank you so much. I love doing that one, actually. That's the Standing Stones story.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan of dog walking, and I really feel the, you know, when you're exploring with your dog and wandering about, it's marvellous, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Really. I mean, that really is kind of the whole ethos of the book, is walk your dog and have a good time, isn't it?
That should have been the name of the book.
Sounds good to me.
But also, yeah, you've done something which I think is very hard to capture, and I noticed we have talked about this on, like, you know, Halloween episodes or, you know, horror episodes or whatever. It's this the sense of dread on a comic book page, because as well as you know, there's some spooky stories and, like, you know, some lighter ones. The tone of this book is, you know, it flows. But the one that got me, and even though I don't have a dog that I walk, it's an experience that I think everyone's had, is when you're walking at night and, you know, those shadows that are just around your corner, just in the corner of your eye, and they seem to be getting closer. And it was just... It's that thing that autobiographical comics... at their best can have. When you're reading someone else's experience, you go, I know exactly what that feels like,
you know? Yeah, that story, It's in the Trees, that one, I think it was actually one of the first ones that I wrote and thought, this is something that isn't just me trying to get people to sort of follow a thing that is very specific to me, because all the ones that I'd done before that were sort of, well, this is a bit of folklore, or this is, you know, the story of my neighbour upstairs or whatever. But that one was, well, we all have that feeling.
Yeah.
Or we've experienced that, even if they're not me, other people will know what this is.
Yeah, that moment and, where you just want to walk a little bit faster. On your way home, you just speed up just a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That one I did feel like was more universal than the others.
Hmm. Yeah, but this also was the intention always to be the collection in this book, because there's always different stories, or did you just do one story and then it evolved into something else, or was it Hauntings the project from day one?
So it was three stories originally. It was the first three in the book. And then a friend of mine and also an author, H.D. Ingham, they said to me that I would love it if you made these into a collection. That was in the summer, I immediately thought, well, one person's asked for this to be a thing. I like making these. Do you know what? I'm just going to do it, and I don't really care.
One sale down. Yeah.
I don't care if anybody else wants it. A friend of mine said they like it, so that's going to happen.
And that's probably said for a lot of projects that we've all got.
Me and mostly those people were lying to me, so I still wouldn't did it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but all right, here's the tester then. When it was done, did they get a copy?
They did, because they're very kindly one of my Patreon pledges.
Hey.
Oh,
yes.
Which leads very... That's a beautiful segue, by the way.
Look at that.
which leads into... This was a Patreon backer sort of first, wasn't it? You know, that was the... They Patreon backers got these stories first, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Vince, you got one.
I did indeed.
So that's kind of how I've been publishing everything for the last few years. Is initially, I don't like to do like full on crowdfunders in the sort of traditional Kickstarter sense, because I'm not confident that anybody will go for it. But with Patreon, people sign up to pay you whatever amount every month.
Mm.
Regardless of whether they get anything like physical in return. So it's kind of a good way of guaranteeing that you can build up the money steadily over some months, and then you can actually publish a thing at the end of it, and people will be pleasantly surprised. Because I don't think people think that, like, if they pay £1 or whatever a month, they don't necessarily think that, oh, that's building up to be, you know, a budget.
So that's
sort of been my model for the last three books that I did, which was obviously Maybe I'm Dreadful, but It's All Terrible and Hauntings.
Mm.
But yeah, that's worked pretty well for me, to be honest.
I think that's a really interesting way to look at it as well, because you know, it's... I think it's not crowdfunding. In, I mean, patrons are essentially almost... They're like a crowdfunding kind of source, as well as tying into like a fan base, etc. But I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but you know, I back a few Patreons, and I didn't, you know, when this book turned up, like the physical book turned up, I was like, what's going on?
What? Yeah, I like that.
This is a printed book. Yeah, I've actually got a printed... What?
I think I've backed a few. I'm back to just two again now, because a couple of that I backed, I wasn't getting anything from them, really. And I don't wish to be that bloke who demands getting something for his money, although I am. But I think when you've actually got a reliable patron, and that's an example of it, is you get something through and you get that content and you get that contact. Yeah. I think that's why you back it, isn't it?
Because the backers also saw these stories that were in Hauntings. You were posting them anyway for backers anyway. Mm. Yeah, so I'd already read, you know, these books, just so the actual physical book itself is the icing on the cake. But I think to talk about Patreon, and Dan, I'd be interested to see what your... Because I know I'm a Dan Butcher backer. I'm seeing all Dan's posts as well. I think it's... There's a... As well as it being a good source of income for like these projects and like books and the work in progress, and it's becoming more and more a vital communication tool with your readers and followers of your work, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. So I for a long time really struggled to kind of balance how I get in touch with people, like on social media and stuff, and I eventually wound down Facebook. I'm not on there anymore at all, and I don't do a huge amount even on Twitter or Instagram, I think Instagram is my main platform, but like I don't do a huge amount of like promotional stuff, and that becomes troublesome when you're trying to self-publish things, because people need to know about them. And I was in quite a good position a couple of years ago, 2018 it was, I think, and where I had sort of maybe 30 to 40 people who bought everything I did, regardless of how well I promoted it. And that was back when I was doing comedy stuff a lot. So at the time I was like, well, Patreon, I'd seen a couple of illustrators use it as a kind of... They weren't even producing like physical stuff to give to people, but they were sort of using it as a monthly kind of, you can support me, you'll get to see behind the scenes stuff, maybe you'll get a postcard or something once a year, whatever, something like that. And at the time, I was trying to self-publish a magazine, a comedy magazine that I'd illustrated and designed myself. And I didn't want to do Kickstarter, because that felt like it was so prone to failure. Because I could only get such a small amount of engagement on anything on social media. And so I was like, well, what if people pay just, you know, a quid, and then over time, when they've paid a quid a few months worth, you know, like they will get something physical in return, and then that will kind of help me fund it without having to like have this timed sort of crowdfunding.
Like the 30 days, the 90 days, that pressure, isn't it, really?
That's the thing. And like, I've never been confident enough to do that because...
Well, firstly, I think you'd be fine, but I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, you know that thing of like, you put out, say, a comic strip or something on social media, and then it gets like 2 likes and a retweet. And it's like, well, I can't make money off of this. That's not going to happen. So it's like Patreon kind of, it makes it much less risky for me, at least, to be able to like build up the money to print something, even if it is cheap printing sometimes.
But it's also, you know, from what I can see, as someone who doesn't have one, is, you know, we talk about Kickstarter being a, you know, a full-time a job for that month to, you know, promote it, get it out there, blah, 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 you know, and then constantly keep the advertising going, etc., keep the campaign going. But because a Patreon's an ongoing thing, it is vital that you keep giving those backers something.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's sometimes, and I know we've all backed Patreons, and we've got the emails, and we haven't read them. it's just the nature of the beast. Sometimes, you know, when you're backing so much, you're sort of like, it's like a Kickstarter email. The amount of times I've just deleted them and completely forgotten I've got a bloody download in it that I should have got. But with Patreon, it's an ongoing. It's almost like that Kickstarter model, but. It's ongoing, isn't it? Because you constantly have to supply. I mean, I know, Dan, you show sketches constantly to your backers, don't you?
Yeah, I try to make at least one post a day. I don't always
That's good, man. That is good.
Yeah. I've currently been trying to bounce back. Like, I've got a costume designer, and I've been doing like designs for that daily and trying to get feedback off of patrons to say what they think and acting on that feedback. So it's kind of like a little sounding board.
Well, no, firstly, that's great, man. I think that's excellent. Mm. I think if everyone on Patreon was as enthusiastic and active as you are, then I think that everything would be fine. But on the other hand, the other side of things, do you find it interferes with the creativity side of things? Do you feel the Patreon thing weighs more heavily on your mind than it would perhaps going and making the comic or something? What do you think?
Me or Dan?
Well, either of you.
Well, I can go first if that's all right.
Of course, yeah.
I used to do almost daily posts when I started in 2018, and I kind of had a lot more projects going on at the time as well, and I didn't have a day job, so it was sort of it became a full time job for me at the time, and
right, yeah,
that sort of worked for the first, let's say, half a year.
Mm.
And then after that, I realised that I was putting in a huge amount of time to create loads and loads of content every week. And the engagement is very low.
Mm.
Or at least for me, it was. Like, I found that I'd never really get... So it's, I mean, it's much like all the other social medias, but you very rarely get any kind of response to, like, here is a comic, here is some work in progress, here is a video of me making a thing. But what you will get is, like, people will continue to pledge to you monthly, and so they clearly get something out of it, even if they're not saying it.
Yeah.
But you sort of realise quite quickly that nobody has the time to, like, focus their energy onto your thing however many times a week. But maybe, like, if you do once or twice a month a big post, people will take the time to read that email rather than, you know, every week clicking archive on their email app. So I've moved to now a once monthly post, and that seems to be what at least the people who pledge to me enjoy, because people have, like, come to me and said, I noticed I've got all these emails from you, and I've still not caught up with them, and I promise I will, and I'm really looking forward to reading it, but I just can't get onto my emails. And it's like, that's good. I'm glad that you support it, even though you don't have time to go through all this stuff. But that also tells me that I can put all my energy into doing one thing a month really well, rather than stressing out about doing, you know, 5 things a week.
Yeah, I think that's where it settled, you know. I think because I remember when it first started or first became big Patreon, we had a lot of, I remember there was a particular writer who will remain nameless who went on Patreon and said, I'll write you, you know, a piece of writer's advice as like a motto once a week. And I'm like, really? It sounds like money for old rope, that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. But I think now we're kind of
approach.
Yeah, I think now we're kind of settling. And to be fair, she didn't even do that. There's a lot of complaints. Now, I think we've settled into people now knowing it's, you know, you've got to do right by people, I think.
Yeah, you can't just like, oh, give me money and I'm not going to do anything for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I consider mine as like, I'm doing the webcomic and a lot of it goes to that. So you get sneak peeks behind the scenes of what I'm doing for the comic, blah, 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 blah. But I always post up stuff that you can't see anywhere else to get a bit of value for it.
I mean, if we're going to boil it down to its you know, a very basic version of it, basically what you're doing, you're subscribing to a creator. It's your monthly subscription service to that creator and their work.
It's based on the old theory, isn't it? Where, you know, there'll be a rich landowner, and the patronage would be the painter has to paint him a portrait every 6 months or something, you know, and he would pay for his house and his food, and it's kind of like a new age version of that, isn't it?
That's exactly it.
Very much so.
But also, because of that, subscription services, and we've all got them, and we've all cancelled one at some point. when you just think, I can't believe I haven't watched that in months. Why am I still paying $7.99? But anyway, that's it. Maybe I've said too much. But
is that how much Pornhub is?
well, it's $14.99 for the gold.
We've got one like on an auto renew, and every sort of couple of days I go, when does that go off? Just to make sure we've like not going to resubscribe to that, because like, I don't want any more of this fucking service.
Yeah. But with Patreons, people can join, and also people can fall away, can't they? They can stop it. So if you've got one, you've got to give people a product. I know it is the work that you guys are doing anyway.
But playing devil's advocate there, Vince, do you have to give people what they want then? Isn't that often the opposite of art?
Well, it all depends. I mean, the artists themselves, and feel free to tell me I'm talking nonsense, by the way, guys, because you actually do Patreons. but the Patreon, you know, you have these level of pledges, don't you? So it's sort of like if you pledge at this level, you can see behind the scenes sketches. If you pledge a bit more, you can see
Dan's got a kiss and a cuddle.
Yeah.
I've got a super pledge level that no one's taking me up on yet.
Oh, here we go.
It's either a page or two pages a month that I'll do of your comic.
Oh wow. Okay.
What?
Wow.
So if I've got a pledge level, like it's like the top pledge level, there's only like one available. And if you want me to do your comic, say you wanted to do like a monthly comic, you pay for that and I'll do your page a comic for you.
Oh, so like a kind of commission through Patreon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'd be like a monthly thing. If you wanted this page, I'd keep making the page for you.
Can I be rude and ask the amount for that, dude?
Yeah. So I can't even remember.
His signal started to cut out then. Did you notice that?
Yeah. talking about money.
Where do I look up what I've got the thing again? Fill the air.
For something that major, though, you must have a limited, this is only one backer. Surely. It must be like a Kickstarter.
Oh, fuck. I can't remember. It's not that much. I can't seem to bloody find the bastard.
£1,000. You should shout about that more, mate, because I don't think people know that, because I know quite a few people who probably bite your hand off for that.
Yeah, but
it's one of those things I thought this would be a good idea and then, like, never really promoted it.
Well, we look forward to getting the messages about you complaining that you've got too much work to do when people start.
Oh no, this is severely limited. Like on when I did the Kickstarter, it's like you can only do so many of these, so it's not.
What are these levels? What they're not pledges, are they? What are the levels of a Patreon? Is it
you self-define them?
Yeah, you decide yourself.
What's the term for them though? Are they patronage levels, or I don't know?
They're pledge levels.
So they are, pledge. So it's okay. Pledge, all right, yeah.
And you just call them wherever you want. My top one, it's got a platinum tier, and I've got $40 a month, and that's, you get a full comic art commission, which is
a single page.
In up, or a comic page of what you want. Yeah.
Sort that fucking price out, mate. Like, you are underselling yourself, you fool.
Yeah, I don't think that's a lot. Maybe I should revisit that. But
yeah.
So if you want a page done for your comic every month, Dan will do it for £30.
That's crazy. You're underselling yourself, pal.
No, I always constantly undersell myself. Yeah.
So when you listen to this, folks, don't send your complaints because the price has gone up. Because seriously, it may be that price now, but we're not going to finish this show with him selling himself so short. That's but you do have to be, I guess, there is a responsibility to think about how many, because I guess you can do as many levels as you want, tiers as you want.
Yeah,
you can have as many as you want.
Yeah, on my Patreon, I've got a platinum and lace tier, which is wrong, or I do a lap dance for you.
Oh, God.
That's surely an OnlyFans.
Yeah, that's the OnlyFans.
That's the OnlyFans show.
There's always, and I'm shocked that it's the guest that says it.
Yeah.
I know your vibe, guys. I've listened to this podcast.
You sat next to us shouting at each other for about 4 hours while this episode.
Oh dear. So obviously, since you've been doing the Patreon since 2018, Lise, I mean, what are the learnings? Certainly, that for creators, maybe like myself, one day in the future, let's just think, oh, I'm interested in Patreon, but you know. What's the handy things that you've learned over your time of doing it?
Yeah, sure. So my main thing is, so I started off with having loads of amusing and very high tiers for various different, like you could get all my books that I've made, or you could get a commission, or this, that, or the other. And nobody goes for the high ones because they can just commission you, or they can just buy your stuff. About a year in, I decided to take away all the other tiers and just go for a £1 tier. That's it. No other options. And that's been significantly better because it's very low commitment for people. So I think people find it much easier to just go, oh, yeah, I'll support that. I can throw a quid at this a month and see what happens. It doesn't matter what what thing I get or don't get.
Yeah.
And so I think that sort of sets the expectation nice and low, which
That's incredible.
I mean, metaphor for life.
Yeah. But that's incredible value for money as well. I mean, because we're talking to a creator now who has created a book and shipped it out to Patreon backers and now has the book available to buy. You know, for £1 a month, that's crazy good value.
Well, yeah, the thing is, like, I had the print run for this paid for in August. And everything on top of that just was bonus for me, right? So the great thing about Patreon is that if you set it at £1, more people will pledge to you.
Yeah.
And thus you can create much bigger budgets for yourself on projects like this where you're self-publishing. And it doesn't feel to people like they're paying a huge amount, but they're still, everybody there is helping create what is actually quite a nice print run of a physical book.
Plus, I guess you don't have the other side of the coin where it's not absolutely soul crushing if one person cancels a subscription.
The thing, because I used to have like a £10 tier where you'd get a magazine every 3 months and you'd get, you know, badges, you'd get stickers, you'd get this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And when one of those went, it was like, oh god, that's a huge dent in what I make this month.
Yeah.
And that really restricts what I can do because, you know, I'll have so much less to work with. So when you make it a quid, it's like nobody will leave necessarily if they still like you.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, and also, like, it takes the mental pressure off yourself because you don't feel like, you know, you have to put out the sort of world-changing content. If you can do, like, for me, it was like, if I can do... I've just seen what you've done while I was talking, by the way.
There you go. It's all right.
Thank you.
Okay.
New pledger for £1. That's really you're taking me out of a train of thought. But
I heard the
like,
phone buzz as well. There you go, literally. Yeah.
See, it's as easy as that, guys. Yeah. Just say that you've got a pound Patreon and they'll go for it. But it, genuinely, it takes the pressure off you because then you're like, well, I'm free to kind of create what I want. Nobody is going to complain if I make, you know, a ghost story comic about my dead neighbour upstairs. Like,
I mean, when you put it like that, Jesus.
I'm into it now.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's sort of, I think people expect very little and are very delighted when they receive things for basically no money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but it's, I mean, also saying that, people, we don't want an absolute sort of tidal wave of £1 patrons where people aren't actually giving anyone any value for money. Because I think you've worked out like a great sort of way of working. You do have this, you know, it's just one level, one post a month. You know, did you find that by working into that structure, you've got into a real rhythm of creating stuff using this now?
Yeah, definitely. Since the beginning of the pandemic, really, I've had a very sort of set schedule when I write however many stories in one sitting. Like it takes me, you know, a day basically to like get all the structures for everything done, and that frees up the rest of the month for me to actually go and make the thing, which again, these are only 8-panel stories. Like, and okay, so the panels are quite involved, but it's sort of, I'm not worrying the whole month, can I get this huge, like, odyssey created? When it's like, I've got the thing written, I've got a certain amount of days to complete it. People expect it on the first of the month, so, you know, I've sort of got a very sort of rigid schedule, but it works for the way I at least create. And so that was all of 2020. Every month I was doing that, and it worked out really well. This year, obviously, the first month was the last Hauntings comic, and then I shipped out the book in January, and this month is my first month where it's like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. This is exciting. But actually, I do know what I'm doing, and that's already been set into motion. It's going to work in a very similar way to Hauntings. But I started February going like, well, this opens so many new doors. I don't know where to go.
Are you keeping, obviously we're not going to find out what the new project is. You have to join the Patreon to find out that. But one thing that we did talk about a lot is, and a lot of people liked it, is the format of it. That, you know, the books come out really nice, but I really like sort of square, sort of bound books and stuff. Like, are you gonna stick with that similar format for some future, and sizings and stuff? Because it's a really lovely sized book as well. The whole thing's come out really nice.
It is, isn't it? It's chunky. It's lovely to hold, isn't
it? It's much thicker than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, it's a nice little coffee table thing almost, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm. Isn't it just? Yeah, no, I like very tactile books. I don't know if... well, Vince definitely has my other comic books, but they have like a nice tactile cover as well.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of thing that I like to sort of think about when I start making things, like what will it physically feel like when it's an actual book, right?
Yeah.
The next one won't necessarily be square, but it will be similar sized, I think. I can tell you what it is, actually, because part of it's happening on Twitch. I'm doing... this month I'm starting to do a weekly food illustration as a kind of streamed, I paint a thing, people chat, it's nice, and then off stream and solely for Patreon I'm going to, well, I've already done the first one, but I make a recipe card of the thing, and then I do a comic relating to the recipe, which is going to then become its own little book. I don't know how long it'll be. I don't know how many recipes it'll be.
What, so it'll be like a comic / recipe cookery book?
Yeah, kind of. It's sort of, I don't know if you're familiar with Condiment Raccoon. It's on Instagram. But
wow. No.
Is this a furry thing? Tell us now.
No, God, no. Well, that's where the money is. I mean, I should go for that. Yeah. I mean, that's what I've been told. Like, that is big dollar commissions.
We need to get hold of that, Vince. We need a furry episode. Get on it.
Yeah.
Reach out to your friends.
Cash in, guys. Cash in.
Oh, gosh.
No, Condiment Raccoon is Lucy Knisley? I don't know how her name is pronounced, but she's an American comic artist who did Kid Gloves and some others as well. But it's kind of herself and her child as raccoons, and it sort of talks about things, recipes that she has made, and kind of like amusing sort of anecdotes relating to those. But that's sort of the energy of it. Condiment Raccoon on Instagram, worth checking out.
Oh wow, cool. there's another show note.
Nice, all over the gram.
Yeah. Oh well, that's fascinating. Yeah, blimey, it's amazing. So many exclusives this week.
Yeah, I haven't actually. This is, I think, the first time I've formed it into any words. I don't think I've even told Pete, who's in the room at the moment. I don't think anybody knows that doing this, but yeah, you guys are the first to know.
Oh, cool. Amazing. So yeah,
I sense we're now going to move into that area that I also don't know about called Twitch.
Yes. Yes.
I've only ever been on John Tucker's one. Yeah. That's the only one I've ever, and I don't really know how I connect to it. I'm not sure.
And I've watched along with a couple of Lisa's sort of Twitch videos and your artwork. So how? I don't know how to do it. See, I don't even know how to phrase the question. But what started? What made you start?
WTF?
I'm an old man. What is this Twitch? It's just something that I get occasionally. But what inspired you to start like a Twitch channel, like for art and stuff, which is something that we're seeing more and more a lot of creators sort of doing.
Yeah. So I think I started around the same time as John did, largely because we're friends, and it was like, oh, John's doing this. I want to do this too. I don't know if you know my background particularly, but I was quite involved with like live comedy stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, and cool. I have kind of a lot of friends who do alternative comedy. And
You organised like comedy gigs and did like posters and all kinds. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of my, I don't want to say day job because I wasn't making a living off it, but I used to run gigs, and I used to make posters for comedians going up to Edinburgh and stuff, which now obviously is impossible because nobody's doing gigs, but I used to do that a lot, and I had lots of friends in comedy, and a friend of mine, Sean Morley, he started properly like committing time to Twitch, kind of, I don't want to say shows, it's more like he used to do sort of a weekly long form game playing stream, but it sort of had a narrative outside of the game, so like things would happen.
Is this video games? Because I know Twitch certainly has a massive video game, the majority of them.
So he was doing that, but he was also doing this other thing, which was kind of what spurred me on, called Meme Machine, where he would take suggestions from everybody who was in the chat with him and kind of create absurdist memes on Photoshop during an evening.
Okay.
And that again developed its own narrative, and it sort of had a big season finale, and it was like this great big sort of world building thing, but on the platform of a Twitch stream where he's creating memes. And so he was doing that from, I think it was from March or February last year. And we watched it for a couple of months and were sort of thinking, it would be nice to be able to do something on Twitch, like a live thing where people can sort of join in and talk to us while we're doing stuff. And then John started his Twitch streams, and me and Pete were sort of looking at each other and going like, well, we've got a phone, we can stick it on a stick and plug it into the computer, and I've got a laptop that can probably run the streaming program. Maybe we can do this, maybe this will work. And it is held together with like twigs and glue, right? Like our setup is not. But we sort of, it was in July I think that we started, and it was sort of very tentative, like we didn't know what we were doing. And we just watched a bunch of streams and we're like, maybe we can just paint. Maybe I can just paint something and Pete can make the stream turn on and off. And like, maybe that'll be enough. And we sort of did it for a few months, and it just kind of this very ramshackle, no sort of direction to it. Just let's paint something, see if people like it. And they sort of do. Like, people just enjoy hanging out with you, which is basically what Twitch is. It's it's a way to spend time with people while they're doing a thing, regardless of whether that's painting or playing a game.
I mean, you do kind of it's the doing several things at once, though, that, like, I mean, because I know you two, like, you'll be painting and someone will be watching the chat. You know, it's that kind of... Because I don't know about anyone else that... And I'm terrible. Like, at a convention, if someone asks me to draw something, don't talk to me for 10 minutes because you're not going to get any sense out of me because I need to concentrate on what I'm doing.
Well, yeah, that's fair. It's tough. It can be tough.
You've never run a comedy gig where 10 people are asking you to do something while the audience members are stressing at you about chairs or where the loos are, or
oh my god,
is the sound too loud or whatever.
So you had training then, basically. So, but the thing is, you're working and watching, like, the chat, because it's totally interactive at the time, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's very interactive, and I find it actually very chilled out, because I do everything in watercolor, and I don't know if you guys use watercolour particularly much, but a lot of it's waiting for stuff to dry. So it kind of leaves me with a lot of time where I can just sort of let whatever I'm doing dry and watch the chat and talk to people. And people will, they'll engage with whatever you're talking about, regardless of, you know, whether it's related to the painting or not. Like, often I'll just start ranting about things that annoy me about the comedy industry or the illustration industry or the publishing industry. A lot of industry related rants. And it's a bit like having a natter with your mates at the pub, you know, like, that's kind of the energy of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, that's a good vibe to have. I mean, is that something you've also, you're getting more confident in the sort of setup and the presentation of it? Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's like very much when we started this podcast, it was very much, what the hell are we doing? But now we know, as long as we've got this, and this, we're fine. It's almost second nature once you've got the things in place to make your life easier when you're doing these Twitch streams and stuff. So do you have a certain setup that you like to have before you even press go on the camera?
Well, I've got Pete. And he does everything. He makes it work, and I don't think I could do it on my own. Like, he sets up the computer, and like, the most that I do is I make sure that the camera is facing the paper that I'm using, and make sure that all, like, the paint stuff is physically set up on the table. But Pete does all the tech. And, like, he makes sure that, you know, it's all going out live to people, and the chat's working. And, like, we've got, like, an auto mod thing that sort of puts out, like, my shop links and whatever. And he's got all that working. And, like, all the kind of fun stuff that people can interact with the actual what's going on screen. Like, people can do alerts, and they can do... So we do game streams as well, and, like, he's set up things like a distractor so that when we're doing something, it all, like, flash up on his half of the screen or something. But, yeah, he makes it all, like,
when you say a distractor, what's a distractor?
What's that?
Yeah.
So it's to distract one of us from whatever we're trying to do. And so Pete does, like John Tucker does also trucking streams.
Yeah,
truck simulator, and
that kind of
has its own deep lore that he has created with the chat. And so he's got, like, this employee called Umberto, and so his distractor is, it flashes up with a Skype call from Umberto with the Nokia ringtone playing on it. So it's sort of like little things like that people can activate through the chat and kind of make happen while we're trying to just get the stream to
work. Nice.
So is this something you can go back and watch later, or have you got to watch it while it's active?
No, you can watch it back. So it's right. All, I think you can watch back, like, 2 weeks worth or something on Twitch.
Okay.
Okay.
But it's sort of, you can watch it not live as well.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's good.
Some people take their Twitch streams and put them on, like, they have a YouTube channel.
YouTube as well, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Is that something that you've thought about doing at some point, or...?
So I used to do two weekly videos on YouTube just for Patreon.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, I found that wasn't really what I wanted to do. Like, I just don't find the time or the energy to put into making like proper, like good video content. Like I can chuck up, you know, the literal recording of the Twitch thing.
Yeah.
But that can be like multiple hours, right? And nobody's going to sit through that on YouTube.
I don't know. You see some of the stuff people sit through. I think you might be right.
Okay. Let me rephrase. Nobody in their right mind to engage with my content would want to sit through that. But yeah, so I did used to do it, but I just find that live is much more my thing. Like I enjoy the kind of interactivity of it, and I think that's really where my energy's focused.
I get you.
And it's not of the moment kind of thing, isn't it, really? It's like when we do our like drinking draws and stuff, you know, people turn up, they have that experience, and then, you know, you just go away. We're never going to take those. I mean, that's more.
No, yeah.
Christ, I hope nobody ever puts that live.
Yeah. That's that. Yeah, that's not something that's going to, because it's just available to whoever joins in on the night. You know, it's not something that's, you know.
And I think that's what makes it special as well. Like, I think really the best thing about Twitch is that you can build a really nice community just through like hanging out with, well, it tends to be for our stream and kind of the streams of our friends, so Sean Morley, who I mentioned, John Tucker as well, Jane Edwards, like there's a handful of people who all turn up in these various streams, and you kind of build like a really lovely sort of community that all kind of cross references all the other stuff, and it, like, I don't think you can do that on YouTube. I don't think that's something that would be possible without the interactivity of it.
Yeah,
I think on YouTube you have to have a certain number of subscribers before you can stream live as well, don't you? I think it's an error condition around that, I think.
Yeah.
So I think the YouTube streaming system is a bit faulty. Like, I don't think it works as well as Twitch, because Twitch is basically made only for live streaming, whereas YouTube doesn't really have that in mind.
Yeah. What is DLive? Is that a similar thing, is it?
What's that?
DLive. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. It's not a porn thing. It's not
a porn thing. I mean, you say that, but I'm now instantly suspicious.
Yeah. I mean,
to be fair, there's so many.
Who wants the DLive?
Quite right, Tubi. Sorry.
There's so many services that pop up and then they're gone, and you're like, oh, okay, but that was a thing, but very briefly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's loads of alternatives.
Periscope. Do you remember when that used to be a thing?
Yeah.
That was like the first live streaming thing that I remember existing as an app.
I think Rumble started as well, wasn't that? Wasn't Rumble the sort of YouTube for Parler? I think it was that, wasn't it?
Bloody hell! These all just sound like Naff X Men. Rumble, Parler.
I mean, it could be real X Men for a while.
Yeah, probably from the 90s.
I think I did try that Periscope one, but it was such a bloody pain in the ass trying to set the camera up to draw that I was like, oh, fuck this, and just sat it off.
Have you thought of, Dan, have you entertained the notion of a Twitch at some point? For like, because obviously you do a lot of the Vanguard stuff. Like,
a lot of sexy videos going on
back
as well.
Back to the Patreon, you know, you have like, especially with the digital, you've got videos of you what you're doing and stuff, haven't you?
It's literally a technical problem, because my internet connection is so garbage I can't stream like video. And
but when, like, it gets better, is that something that you will,
when it gets better quality, that's something I've looked into. I mean, the idea of me drawing live and people like talking back and forth is, and can see what I'm drawing, that's something I've looked into and got that sort of on the springboard, hopefully when it all sorts itself out.
I mean, it is a societal thing, isn't it? I mean, we are moving to that so much in our work lives, in our private lives. I mean, we had a dinner party the other day, Lise. There's four of us. We had a dinner party over Zoom, didn't we, guys?
Because I think, especially now with pandemic and the like, I mean, aliens, if you listen to this, when the human race has all been obliterated by their own nuclear missiles, these are things that happened. But during the pandemic, like, you know, that social... even if it's digital, that social interaction is never more important. And I think things like Twitch streams and stuff, like you say, they're communities that people...
helping people, yeah.
Yeah, that people... Yeah. You know, like when we... Just a simple thing like a drink and draw, we have people that turn up to that who don't say a word, and it's only when they say, oh, I'm off now, thanks, guys. Because I think, you know, people just want...
Some people just enjoy listening as well, don't they?
They just want to turn up and be around like-minded people and just... you know, have some.
Well, the podcast, look at the amount of podcasts that sprung up. I want to talk, but look at the amount of podcasts that sprung up during lockdown. There's been loads, haven't there?
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Yeah.
How do Tom's you... just John Tucker's just put a new one out, hasn't he? And
Pete Davis had one last week. Absolutely incredible. It's so good. Yeah. Like, I can't get over how good it is.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Highly recommend. It's This Foul Earth, isn't it?
That's it.
I have to listen to that. We said my podcast consumption has dropped during the pandemic because
lack of commute, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I commute and walk around in this podcast, so it's really kind of knocked in the head for me.
I ended up sitting at my desk all day, and I thought, I've got to get out. So I do like that. I've told myself as a New Year's resolution, I do that 10,000 steps a day. So I'm doing that.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to podcasts while I'm doing that, to be fair. So that's why I've started re-ingesting a lot of the old ones, you know.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I did the same thing. I save up my podcasts for the dog walks. And,
Yeah.
I really get through them, to be fair.
Yeah. What sort of podcast do you listen to, Lise?
I listen to, oh my God, I listen to so many, but I listen to a podcast called You're Wrong About. That's probably my main one. It's really great. It's about misremembered things in recent history.
Okay.
There's a lot of that going on.
That sounds great.
Actually, I must say also, I listen to a Mandatory Redistribution Party, which I can't pronounce. It's very difficult to say if you're Finnish like me. That's a podcast by my friend Sean Morley and Jack Emmons as well, and they do very, very good, very interesting stuff on there.
What's that about, that one?
That one is about left-wing politics and kind of socialist ideas.
Okay.
There you go. There's lots of interesting stuff to put in the show notes this week. I tell you what, you know, it's quite I've got Twitch streams, I've got Patreons, I've got, you know...
I tell you, they're great sources. I mean, when I do I work for university, Lise, and a lot of my job is research. And if I'm driving the car on a long distance or something like that, I'll put a podcast on that is about that subject.
I do very similar stuff, actually. I listen to audiobooks a lot.
Yeah.
As well as podcasts.
Yeah, me too.
And if I'm researching something particularly for comics, like I get through books so much slower than I do through audiobooks. So like when I was researching stuff for Hauntings, I was listening to a lot of audiobooks during that time.
I'm the same. Yeah. Like, you know, I used to, because I stopped taking the train to work and things like that, you know, and that was when I used to read a lot of books. Now, audiobooks, if I've said I've read a book, it's probably I've listened to someone saying it in my ears. Which makes you quite critical of the narrators of an audiobook.
There's certain ones I don't like. There's that sort of generic American voice that winds me up. I can't have him.
There was there was one I was quite interested in the audio book. What's that? The School for Peculiar Children. It was made into a film, a Tim Burton film.
Mrs. Peregrine's
Peregrine's, yeah. And I thought, I'm intrigued by how this book came about. Let's listen to it. I got downloaded the book on Audible. That was my impression there. and I got two chapters in and I had to stop it because it was the worst narrator. And it was an American doing the worst Welsh accent I've ever heard in my life. Mate,
I did the same with some Michael Moorcock books on A Long Journey. I thought, oh, the Michael Moorcock's on there. I got a few credits on Audible. Yeah. I download them and it was just some American trying to talk about Elric. And I'm like, I'm not having this.
I had my worst one was I listened to Ghostland by Ed Parnell, and it was written by somebody who sounds like such a kind of pound shop Alan Partridge.
Hang on.
I could not get over it.
Don't take that personally, Vince. You're not pound shop.
Stop calling me Partridge.
You're the Waitrose Partridge. That's how I describe you.
Yeah. I'm the M&S Partridge, baby.
This isn't just any Partridge.
Oh, that'd be the name of this episode if we did titles like that. But no, seriously, Lace, we love your work. And I think this has been, Dan's an old hat. He knows all about the technical stuff. Me and Tony are the cavemen, aren't we?
Just Christ, you're much better than me, mate.
Yeah, we've only just discovered fire, me and Tony. So I don't know about you, Tony, but I've learned quite a lot about
I have, yeah. And I've subscribed to two patrons while I've been sitting here.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, I do kind of think the more that I didn't really get into Patreon, like backing people for a long time. And shame on me. Shame on me. I thought I had backed Dan Butcher's Patreon probably about 2 years earlier than I actually started. And it was and I got a message from Dan going, thanks, V. I was like,
he's just sent me that message. I get very cynical about it. And I did back a Patreon when it first started, and I got literally nothing back. And I thought, why am I giving this person £5, £10, whatever it was a month? And it really pissed me off.
Yeah,
I think you've got to consider what you're going to do. Like, you can't just say, I had a Patreon, and then think, oh, I better fucking come up with something. It's it's very hard to think of what content you're going to come up with on the spot if you've got nothing to deliver.
Yeah,
like that writer chap you mentioned. If you're a writer, you've got to kind of consider, how can I make it worth me backing me? Or fuck knows if you're right. I don't know how you do that.
It's a very visible medium, I think, Patreon. I think
people will moan about it. You've got to be careful, I think. I'm on the old EOC Patreon, and you get an extra episode every month. You get access to a Slack group. You get to vote on the book of the month. It's very interactive, and those boys put their work in for what they get, for what you get back. You know, I think it's well worth it.
But I think the idea of running a webcomic on there, where you just pay $1 a month and you can read...
That's one of the few ways you'll get paid for a webcomic, I think.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's so hard to make any money off, like, posting just one comic or a day or a week or whatever.
I think you're right. You were right there when you almost said it's hard to make money off comics. I think that was just... I agree totally, Lise. Yeah, completely.
On my Vanguard stuff, it's more like my webcomic's almost just like a kind of social media post to keep people interested in the thing, so when I bring out a book, there's an audience for it. But like, the posts you put up for pages and stuff don't get much traction at all. It can be disheartening, but I always think, well, it's not the page itself, it's from when the book comes out. Do you know what I mean? Or when the comic's done.
I did a Patreon last year, which was Adrian Hashimi, who you both met. He came on one of our drink and draws, and love him, one of my favorite people in the world. Such a good dude. And he did a story about sort of folk tales from Malaysia, and I don't think it's a secret now, but I think everyone who pledged will be getting that book.
Nice.
I think that's the best way to do it, man. That's a great way.
That's a great way of doing it.
I think there's a lot of value to be had in these extra sort of and also they can be an important resource for creators, but as we always say, you just got to be responsible and do it properly. There's a lot of people it's not a quick buck, people. It really isn't. And Lisa is a brilliant example of, like, it's value for money, and they're putting in the work. So,
well, listen, I'm paying her £1 a month now, so I expect.
I've got that pound now.
Just be a picture of you giving me the V's.
Oh dear, no, but this has been fascinating, and thanks for enlightening us. Some more lace about it.
Long time coming, mate. Yeah, we're looking forward to this one.
No
problem at all. I'm glad to have talked about it with you guys.
Yeah. We've been friends with Lise for a while, so this has been a long time coming. So, and she's sticking with us for the rest of
the Mafia. Bam Mafia.
Yeah. The Bam Mafia, maybe. those days will happen again. They will. That sounds quite threatening when I put it like that.
It does, doesn't it?
It does.
Even accompanied by the word mafia.
Yeah, that's true. No, I won't edit this bit out. You know, just trust me. We're very nice. I mean, if it's any sort of mafia in Bath, it means we just, you know, do we put cream before the jam on our scones, or the other way?
In the world of cities, Bath mafia is probably a bit further down than like Detroit or somewhere, or Moscow or something, isn't it? Yeah. Sound a bit more threatening.
It's just bloodletting on the streets of Bath.
I mean, it's fucking carnage. I couldn't get any caramelised onion hummus. Blood in the streets. I'm not posh. Please don't.
I've been to your house. You live in a little cottage in the middle of nowhere with roses up the side of it. You're a well posh.
I'm not fucking Thomas Hardy.
I think I've walked past your cottage. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's a lovely cottage, isn't it?
Yeah, charming. I mean, I live at the poorest address in Bath. Yeah.
I mean,
basically.
Everyone's got visions of me living like Kate Winslet from The Holiday. Just
that's the vibe. That is fully the vibe. I know exactly where. Yeah, I know where it is.
But you used your house in that film.
It is my house. Yeah, yeah. Jude Law lives with me. Oh. Anyway.
Does he do that joke where he puts his hanky over his face? That's the funniest thing.
No. look, we need to get the show back on track. This isn't a sponsorship ad. We're supposed to be on track right now. Nonsense. Anyway, do we have any shout-outs this week?
Yes. Shall I go?
Yes.
I've got one.
Oh.
Thanks to everyone who came to the Drink and Draw. What a session.
Yes.
That was a hell of a good one. Yeah. Yep. Arising from the Drink and Draw is an anthology, which was kind of the drunken idea of a group of people that has been made reality by Sarah Harris.
Sarah Harris.
It is a anthology, and it's for the ACP family. It's for the community that has built up around this podcast. Thanks to everyone. She's in charge. She has a final say. But if you want to pitch to it, make sure you pitch to her. Don't just send her a completed strip thinking it's going to get in there, because it's not. But it's going to be sort of, I think a lot of people have showed interest. Not everyone's going to get in, sadly. So she's got the final say. But there's a little group of people, like a star chamber. Do you remember that? Oh my God.
Sorry.
That's right. Do you remember Star Chamber?
First time a dog's ever been on this show.
No, it might be actually. Yeah,
it might be.
Yeah. Do you remember Star Chamber where people would decide who would die? You know, it's a bit like that. That's the Star Chamber for this anthology. But yeah.
What?
So what?
I mean, people aren't going to die.
They might do.
I mean, you never know.
So Sarah's got impeccable taste around comics, as we all know. She's one of the busiest comic readers and creators that we know. So, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, good one. A little thank you to Paul Ashley Brown, I ordered one book, who's another Bam Mafia, I'd like to say.
Yeah.
Who said, I ordered one book off him and he sent me a load, and they're all brilliant. So I'm really enjoying them. And anyone who sent review copies through to the Never On Anything site, I'm working through them. Give me a chance. I don't need reminder emails. Thank you for that. I work like 13 hours a day. I only get an hour at night. So, yeah, see, I'm getting there slowly.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how I feel about chase emails.
No, I don't either. Depends how they're done and who they're from. You know, horses for courses. But, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
To be fair, I would, if I sent something to review, I wouldn't chase it up with an email, I don't think. But, like you say, each of their own.
There's different. Yeah. On the site, but yeah.
And there's ways of going about it. Anyway, Dan, you got a shout out.
Yes, the competition I was supposed to do last week on the Monday.
Yes.
The drawing competition will be up tomorrow.
Oh, good. Oh, we were wondering about that, the drink and draw.
Yeah, I completely and utterly forgot about it. I was on holiday this week and I just kind of fucking sapped off actually all my responsibilities.
Where'd you go, Arbita?
Yeah. He left his family at home. He just
Where'd you go? Marbs? Did you go Marbs?
Yeah.
I was going to text the boss tomorrow and say I can't come in because of the fucking snow, but I'm not sure if he'd get the joke. keep an eye out for that when I post up. When you hear this on Monday, the 8th of Feb.
Saucy.
It's the 8th of February already. Where's it going already?
In Christmas.
Yeah, blimey. And
Shrove Tuesday really creeps up on you.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that one.
That's class. That's class. Oh, and speaking of shout-outs, an extra shout-out to Tom Curry's amazing joke that is a visual joke that, and Cliff Cumber,
he's still trolling.
Just
him
back off, man, because you don't. That's comedy gold.
I told it to my son; he loved it, and then he told it to my wife, and she said it took him about 5 minutes to get through it. So I can imagine that wouldn't be so amusing after that length of time.
Yeah. Perhaps one day you lovely people will discover it, and it's a very clean joke. It's a brilliant joke. Yeah. So big shout out to that. And from all that goodness to some lovely comics that you people, or comics art, whatever, that you people can check out over the next however many days or whenever you listen to this. And as always, the guest goes first. Lise, what would you like to recommend to our lovely listeners?
Well, as you said, comics, art, whatever, I'm going to do a sort of dual recommendation because I do have on me currently, I have John Tucker's Murder Volume 1. Oh, but yes. Because we did mention it earlier, my main recommendation is actually John Tucker's new podcast, This Foul Earth, because he's so good at writing. And like, so murder is obviously like, it's the thing that he mainly does, which is comics. Well, it's sort of story in book form. It's kind of
illustrated story, isn't it? Kind of.
Yeah, illustrated story is more the thing, because it's not like your standard like speech bubble and panel style comic. It's a picture page, a bit like kind of same sort of layout as Hauntings, I guess. But yeah, I just really love John's writing so much, and Murder's probably my favourite thing he's done.
The book, I mean, not literal murder, John. We're not saying you're a murderer.
He's very good at that. Well,
he's very good at murder.
He's just a class lad, isn't he? He knows what he's doing, regardless of what it is. But yeah, Murder's great, and this fella. I was listening to it on the dog walk the other day, and it's incredibly well produced, and it's so funny. But in kind of the John Tucker sort of very dry, very sort of. It's unnerving, but it's witty, you know. He just knows what he's doing.
Speaking of Cliff did the voiceover for the advert, didn't he? Did he do, I haven't listened to the rest of it, but
I think he did. Yeah, he did, and I think he does the intro.
Yeah, the title card, as it were. It really does remind me of like some true crime podcasts or something like Criminal, which is a great podcast. But it has that, you know, when you've got the soft music in the background and it's just someone talking. And it's done so well that you kind of forget it's John.
Yeah, exactly.
He's very believable as an 80-year-old man.
There's so many really great lines in it as well. I'm trying to remember my favourite one. It was something like... two gold teeth and a hand or something.
Two gold teeth and one gold hand.
Yeah, that's the one. And I was walking the dog just down the road here in Bath, and I almost laughed in someone's face because it was so funny.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a great podcast. Plus, they're only like 15 minutes. So,
Excellent. When's Cliff going to bring his back as well? I'm waiting for him to come back. He's done about my one, but I want a whole 15 minutes of Cliff as well.
I really enjoyed them. They were kind of like marked the beginning of the lockdown.
They really did, didn't they? That's right. Yeah,
Cliff, you got to come back. Dan, you're breaking up. That's how much you love it.
Especially since Cliff has now got a cult.
He does. We can't talk about that, Tony.
Sorry.
There are several levels, and as we said in the drinking draw, once you get to level 42, you get a free base. That joke's still funny.
Slap it.
Oh dear. Anyway,
I saw them on my 18th birthday, level 42.
Nice.
That blows my mind.
Yeah,
he did the thing where he comes in on over the rope, over the crowd, and plays.
You say that like everyone knows it. I didn't know they did things like that.
Yeah,
he swung over the crowd playing a bass.
Yeah, and they were to the Thunderbirds music.
What?
Yeah, honestly, you can find it online. Yeah,
right. That's another show note.
1986, I'm going to say that was something like that.
Where did you go and see him?
Wembley.
Bloody hell! Cool.
Yeah.
And all you kids out there, if you don't know who level 42 are, you're learning so much this week.
Yeah. They're cracking back.
Yeah,
they used to record in the studios at the back of Brixton. There, I see them all the time.
Wow, blimey! I learn so much about you every week, Tony. And yet, I'm still here.
The dirty depths of Esmond's life.
Yeah, I mean, dirty depths. Level 42 at Wembley Stadium isn't really one of your darker moments.
I remember my mate, one of my best mates, he was a black guy and he had like a flat top and he was like, you know, super smart dressed and all this sort of thing. And I remember, is it Mark King? Is that his name? No, it's not Mark King. Anyway, the geezer comes flying over on this rope and my mate shouts, "Slap it." And he never lived it down for the rest of his life. If I saw him now, I'd say, "Slap it." And he'd go, "Oh, fuck off."
Just one misstep and then you just never live it down.
Yeah, your life's ruined.
Oh, God. I'm going to be constantly saying that for weeks now. Joe's going to be like, "What the hell are you talking about?" thanks for that. And thank you for that recommendation, Lise. That is quality. Who would like to go next?
Go on, you go, V.
Yeah, you go, V.
Don't fight about me. By me. You know, I mean, I mean, I'm very flattered, but anyway.
Get on with it.
All right. Slap it. Jesus. This is what happens, Leith. You knew what was going to happen around 9 o'clock on a Sunday evening. It's always the same. But no, what I like to recommend is a web comic. I've got a pile of like PDFs and books to read, and and I was scratching my head, thinking, what am I going to recommend this week? But I just didn't think about the strip that I've been reading quite a lot recently. I discovered it on Instagram. And it's called The Weekly Roll, R-O-L-L. It's a weekly Dungeons & Dragons-inspired four-panel comic strip that follows the various exploits of a party of adventurers as they walk the fine line between good and just straight-up evil. It updates every weekend. I discovered it on Instagram. It's available on Webtoons, which is quite a big thing, isn't it? Is that one of the major ones, Dan, for webcomics?
Say that again?
Webtoons.
Oh yeah, that's one of the big platforms.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just went to the Webtoons page and like the stats for strips on there are insane.
I mean, if you can get like on the front page, you're fucking going to do massive numbers.
Yeah. Yes, but this is great. I mean, on Instagram, the creator is just called Malcolm, and they apologies for not saying your name correctly, and they'll never listen to this. And on Instagram, it's CME_T is where you can find the strip. And this is, it's the classic four-panel sort of comedy strip sort of thing. And it's just, which I'm thinking more and more I might get back into that, you know, doing that rather than like the full sort of A4 comics and stuff. You know, that's sort of like four panels to a joke. Not a joke, but you know that kind of.
Oh, like Thingyville that you did.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Stalkerville.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Because there is a real sort of a talent to getting those sort of right, and this is, I absolutely love this strip. It's not all ages. There's some grown up humor. There's some fantastic characters, and the comedic timing for these things are always completely on point. And I love it. So, and it's every week. I mean, there's 68 chapters at the moment. And one of the characters is a tiny gnome who's like a druid, but he's got like a, normally you'd have like a sort of savage warrior that would wear like a bear skin, you know, like the bear's head on their,
yeah,
on their head. Because he's a gnome, he's got a badger, and it's just such,
I like badgers.
It's such a brilliant visual. Plus, he's a little asshole. It's really good. It's called The Weekly Roll. I thoroughly recommend going back to number one and starting from there, because he's really on a roll. And I would love to have this as a little book itself. So I hope it keeps going. The comedy is always on point. Sometimes when there's a swear word, it makes me laugh because I'm totally immature. And a well-timed swear word could be just great for comedy sometimes. But it doesn't overdo it.
Shite.
There you go. Tony's a perfect example of it. So go check it out, whether it be on Webtoons or on Instagram, as I said. And you won't look back. You've got loads to read. I like recommending things that I've only just discovered and then gone back.
It's free as well, isn't it?
Yeah, completely free. And you can just go back and just read it from...
I used to do a fantasy web strip.
Yeah, yours was it was like
Alag the Barbarian.
Yeah. Class. Will we see that come back one day, Tony?
Alag. I don't know.
Could be Alag versus Atomic.
Oh. I think if anyone read it now, I might be in trouble with the internet, I think, sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got enough trouble as it is. speaking of trouble, who wants to go next?
Shall I go next?
Go for it.
So I've just stuck the cover for the book I'm talking about in the chat there. I think Lise and Dan have seen it. I think you saw it earlier, V, didn't you?
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love that cover. I absolutely love
it. I really like it. And I think, so it's The Book Tour by Andy Watson, for those who can't see it. It came out in November. It's 270 pages, black and white, and it's produced by Top Shelf, care of IDW now. The For those that know, might know Andy, he did Slow News Day at Slave Labor in 2002. He's also worked on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the, was it season 8 comic, I think they did, didn't they? And he did some Namor, and he did some Alien versus Predator and stuff like this. But I think this is him writing and drawing, which is good. I always feel a bit bad about not having caught up with it sooner, because when I, well, so it's a year ago now, isn't it? Or just over a year, when I went to Angoulême, I prepped a sort of convention briefing for Sam, where, you know, all the, because he was on the, he was official selection, this book, for the French publisher, because it came out earlier in France. And I remember seeing this cover and thinking, that is amazing. I remember kept saying to Sam, we should pick that up, and we didn't. I bumped into I bumped into Chris Staros in the dealers, so there's like a dealer's tent sort of thing, and it's where everyone, all the big book deals are done. And I bumped into Chris Staros, who's the top shelf guy, and I'm only back in retrospect, I think that must have been what he was in the tent doing, was buying the book tour off off the French publisher called Ça et là. There you go, it's the name of the French publisher.
Oh, look at you.
So yeah, I know. So it's a class piece of work. So the story is, Mr. G.H. Fretwell has a few books under his belt and is now upon the publication of his new one. Says goodbye to his slightly he's got a family, just ignore him. He's a bit of one of life's victims, Fretwell, I've got to tell you, and you'll find out why in a minute. But he says goodbye to his family, and they go, oh, we'll see you then. And he heads off. And it's hard to make out where this is set, but I'm saying France in the 50s or something like that. There's certainly no mobile phones and, you know, nothing like that. Everyone's sort of vaguely smartly dressed, but it could be anywhere, I suppose. He sets off on the train, and he's a bit, you know, he's stressing a bit about it. He's always in a mess. He never knows where he is. He always needs a map. And he gets off the train, and some bloke walks up to him and says, oh, I'd like, I'm here to collect you. And he says, oh, I didn't realize I had someone collecting me on the itinerary. He says, oh, they should have told you, I'm really sorry. And he says, oh, shall I take your bag? And he says, oh, thank you. And he gives him his bag, and he wanders off, and he never sees his bag again. So he sort of, that's how it starts. And it just sort of slowly gets worse and worse. He goes to a couple of book signings, and nobody turns up. But the woman who runs the first of the book signings says, oh, what are you doing for dinner? And he says, oh, I don't know, I'll probably eat my hotel room. And she says, oh, I've been really lucky. I've got a table booked at the restaurant next door. It's really hard to get a booking. And following day, the police arrive at his hotel room and say, you know, that woman yesterday, where, you know, what did you do with her? Where did you take her? And he said, I didn't take her anyway. So, well, she's gone missing. And he becomes the suspect in a murder case. But it gets worse and worse. He sort of slowly, he can't find a phone. He ends up going into a bar, and it turns out to be a bar where you go in and you sit with a prostitute, and then some bouncer tries to get $100 out of you, whatever it is. He ends up going, his publisher's been very weird and won't invite him to the party, and the publisher won't come and see him, and they send the sort of idiotic poetry editor along, who can't pay for the meal and disappears. There's a lot of twists and turns. I mean, it's 270 pages. It's done in black and white, but I'm just trying to think what it's like. It's kind of like an Ealing drama, but crossed with something. Have you ever seen the movie After Hours, the Scorsese movie, where he ends up stranded in New York, and it's just his life's just getting worse and worse, and he can't get out of it? Or maybe The Trial by Kafka. Have you ever seen the movie of that? I think it's an Orson Welles directed movie, isn't it? It's like, what's happening to me? I'm just like Joe Public, and this all, you know, I don't understand why I am, what's happening. And it gets worse and worse and worse, and I won't ruin the ending for him because I think it's really good. But it plays a bit on the sort of paranoia of the innocent person being, you know, caught up in the legal system and being suspected of a crime. And everyone he sees, there's a sort of homeless guy he keeps bumping into. He keeps saying to him, oh, have you got a light? And you begin to wonder, who's that homeless dude? I don't really know what that's about. And he slowly loses all his money, and he can't get home, and he's suspected of a murder, and his wife leaves him. And it's really cleverly done. And it's I read it all in one sitting at 270 pages. That's something in it. But it's a fairly sort of breezy read. It's a nice, airy, quick read. Fretwell is... he's just a numpty, really. He really is. He's just he's a total idiot. He's like one of life's everyman idiotic victims. And you just follow him through this story. The art in it is a little bit like you would see in a one-panel cartoon in maybe Private Eye or something like that. It's got that, you know, they're just dots for eyes. You know, the characters is a lot of hair and a moustache and a couple of dots or something like that. Against that, and it plays into a bit of what you did, Lisa. So slightly more cartoony people, but in the background you get these sort of rain-soaked French streets and cobbled streets and shop fronts, and under the bridges by the river, and it is really beautifully done. And it's the, I think the cover is probably a good example of how it is there, where him sitting there surrounded by books, and that's kind of a scene that happens in it, but quite not, perhaps not as grand as you see there. It does feel quite French. But if you look into Andy, I think he's from Wakefield, and he lives in Worcester now. So I don't think he's French, not as far as I know. But he was at Angoulême, and he is very well thought of in France, which is where all the great tasteful comics does exist. Mm. And it really does it by. So you really do follow it. It's like a real page turner. It really keeps you going. It keeps you going. You keep thinking, can it get any worse for this person? It keeps going like that all the way through. I bought mine off Amazon. It's not expensive, I don't think. I'm trying to figure out how much it is on here. It is $24.99 in dollars. So you're going to pay, what, 18, 19 quid, I suppose, for it? Mm. But it's a chunky old book. I mean, it could easily... There's a feel of the anime in the size and page number in it, like a little volume of stuff. I've got a feeling the French version was bigger, which I can see works, but it's not for my old eyes. Sometimes the lettering gets a bit small, but it's fine in this one. So it's the Book Tour by Andy Watson. And I put a picture of it up on Twitter about an hour ago, and he replied straight away. So he said, I hope you enjoy it. So hopefully he's just listening to that.
Nice one.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely. Yeah, and who else is from Wakefield? Someone I texted you about yesterday.
Who?
Jay McDonald.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
On your. What was she up to this week, Tony?
She was in. Well, she went to New Zealand and was looking around the village where they filmed, the Hobbit bits of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay.
But she clearly knows nothing about hobbits and didn't really understand what was going on. And then she said she kept trying to get a drink.
She can't have travelled there now.
No, I think it's pre-filmed.
Yeah.
And she just kept trying to get a drink and said they were going to go to the Hobbit pub. And then she said, my mouth's drier than a Hobbit's flip-flop. And I thought,
there's a fantasy, no, Hobbits don't wear shoes.
Yeah, so she's seen a Hobbit's feet. She clearly has never seen the films, although she is, worthy of a BAFTA, I think, for that episode.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
She continues to prove that there's no environment in which she's not out of her depth.
And I did tweet her again, with the thing about how me and Adam would like to do a comic about her being on ocean liners and doing kung fu.
Why is that not a thing?
Why I know. What's wrong with her?
Mm. I'd have been all over that if I was Jane McDonald.
Yeah. They're doing a Keanu Reeves, John Wick kind of comic. Why can't we do one about Jane McDonald on cruise liners, solving crimes and doing kung fu?
Cruising for a kill.
Yeah. You
could have had cruising for a bruising. It's there.
Yeah, God.
Cruising for a Kill does sound like a great Steven Seagal movie.
Yeah.
And we all know that.
Well, we won't get into that because right now Dan's going to recommend something.
Go on, Dan.
I cherry picked this title off of Comixology. Just thought, I'm going to try looking in the new indie comics. And I saw this one and the summary caught my eye. So I thought, I'll give it a go. It's called The Depth. And the summary is a video of a kid's beating up a homeless man goes viral, kicking off a chain of events that could disrupt the power balance of nations and set the world ablaze. Written by Samuel Smith, pencils by Amaltia Montero, inks and colours by Anastasia Trochotska, and lettered by Nuvola. I was kind of getting on with this. It frustrated me a little at the end where the writer said this started life as a screenplay. I'd never find that's a good way to talk about your comic by saying, I couldn't get it to work as a screenplay, so I'm going to try and make it into a comic.
Yeah.
I think that there's some structural issues with it because of that. Like, there's obviously there's a story in here, but just the way they've put it together in the first issue on the comic, you've only got like the 21, 22 pages. They've sort of struggled with it because it kind of flits around the place. And the story is essentially, it seems to be like about immortals, and there's these kind of parasites that enter your kind of body and basically maintain your body so it doesn't break down and you're an immortal. And this homeless guy that these people beat up is one of them. And you start getting flits of his backstory of where he's been in his life and what's happened to him. At one point it suggests he kind of was in the cult of Prince Arthur. And
see, there's all this, Dan, but from that summary that you gave me, that sounds nothing like what you're describing.
No, it's not. It's not. It's kind of. It is odd because I like, fortunately, I like both of those things, but it just doesn't. Yeah, the summary doesn't do the story justice, really.
Yeah, I think sometimes online comic synopsis are very, they're either spoiler heavy or they're just off the mark sometimes, aren't they?
Yeah.
Just want enough to get them in, but like not too much to like do like a Hollywood movie trailer and show them fucking everything. But there's some really, the art is quite heavily photo referenced. And some scenes it doesn't work so, and other scenes it's fucking great. It's really horrific. There's a scene where they cut open like the homeless guy and this kind of parasite inside him just violently attacks all the surgeons around him. And it's really well done. It's horrible. But other scenes when it's just like shot on character actors and it just doesn't, it doesn't quite get there. But it feels like there's a diamond in the rough. Yeah, I tore through it without a doubt. So
it's a good price as well. I can see
it's only 79p.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's what you want.
I did go to Comixology this week and tried to get all my back issues put down to 79p because I think I was having some kind of brain malfunction as I priced my Vanguard. Some of them I did like quite high, and others just did 79p. So I tried to sort that out. But I reckon it's give it a crack. See what you think.
Yeah, especially for like that kind of price. I think, you know, get hold of issue two and then see where this thing's going.
Yeah, since it's an indie title putting it out for 79p, I can't really go wrong with that.
Yeah,
so
which I think more people should do on Comixology sometimes rather than what people are
doing. Especially my experience this week. Yeah.
And it's got the cover to issue two in the back. I don't know when issue two will be out, but the fucking cover for issue two looks amazing. It's arguably like a million times better than issue one. I would have led with a cover to issue two.
Oh, okay. Right, you'll have to send us that, Dan, and we'll and we'll put it on the Facebook chat.
That's a good idea.
So some varied and very interesting recommends this week, all over the shop.
Can I just say quickly after my book, people don't know, but we send Vince links so you can put them in the show notes. I was just looking for Andy Watson's link, and he has a Patreon. So there you go.
Yeah, brilliant. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. More and more people are having them.
Yep.
And hopefully more and more people will listen to the show. What a show it's been. Yeah, you're right. Poundland Partridge. That's what I am. I heard it.
Don't do yourself down.
I just heard it.
More Asda. Don't say Poundland. More Asda.
Whatever, because it's value for money. Because no one.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, because this is free audio. And thank you very much for listening this week, folks. We hope you enjoyed everything we talked about and learned some stuff. Go forth and check out Lisa's Patreon and get a work and check out some of the stuff we talked about. If there's anything you want to know more about, or if you've got any events or charity drives or anything comics related that, you know, let's spread the positivity of comics in a good way. Let us know about them and we'll put a shout out in the show notes, etc.
On the road to 300 now, boys. Not long.
Yeah, I know. We've got the date on the calendar, haven't we?
Yes.
Speaking of dates,
more of that soon.
Speaking of dates, next week's show is going to be a romantic one, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Is it just three of us again?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can, if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us awesomecomicpod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod. Where we will be announcing stuff, retweeting, get in touch. Please get in touch with us on Twitter and stuff, and you know, show us the indie books that you're purchasing or checking out at the moment, and let us know, and then we'll retweet and share the love. If you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, and we talk about it every week because there's a fantastic community on there. It's really the only reason I go to Facebook, and that's the Facebook group Awesome Comics Talk. Well, there's a wonderful community of people that just are there. There's no hard selling. It's just people talking about comics, making comics, reading comics, just everything comics. And it's
can I just quickly say something? If you've got a Kickstarter to promote, obviously we now, anyone who listens to this now knows you don't put it in the group. But can I also ask you don't send me a friend request just because you've got a Kickstarter out? I'm getting a bit sick of it. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
Yeah. There you go. But the fact of the matter is, Tony, they clearly don't know you, so they won't have listened to this.
Exactly.
I mean, you're talking into the void, my friend.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my word.
Robot.
Sorry.
That was Dan's sex robot, Lee.
Is Rusty don't come back to life again, Dan?
Me, dude. What's that?
Has Rusty come back to life again? What was that?
Yes,
sex robot you had, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the iPad kicking off as it does when I'm on a podcast.
I hate that. Like when I'm just trying to shut it down, it goes, "Hey, what can I do for you? You can fuck off and shut down for fuck's sake."
I'm going to coalesce some ideas. Yeah. Coalesce this.
Slap it. Anyway, thank you for listening to this sandwich of nonsense that had some genuine quality in the middle of it, thanks to our guest, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe and leave a review. It helps get the word out about the show, and more people find out about the books and everything that we talk about every week. We're also on various networks. I'm scared of this one. We're on various networks such as Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are we on, Tony?
Pod Rapers.
You can't, dude.
What?
You mumbled that, and I'm not going to get you to say it again.
Car Rapers.
Oh, God. This is off the rails. I can't control it, so it's time to.
It was a muse diet, that one.
No, I know, but that's the sort of quality content you get. The drinking drawers.
Yeah. I've got a feeling Gabby mentioned it, didn't she? But a documentary about people who love cars, but love them in that way.
What? Gabby Scanlon, is that? Are we going to name?
No, don't name her. No.
Okay. Right. Okay. I'll add Gabby's this. Great. Gabby's great. I'm sorry, Gabby. I'm not editing this. It's too much work.
Throw me under the bus.
Yeah, but she will be on a show. Oh, thank you very much for listening, folks. It's been a fun one, and stick with us for more fun over the next couple of weeks. It's Valentine's Day when we record next time.
What do you do, Dan? Do you go into like three shops and buy three cards, or do you just go into one shop and buy three at once?
Usually I do it online. It's easier.
Good idea. Yeah.
Do you think we're getting a card?
Also, you can like copy and paste the heartfelt message every time.
Copy and paste the heartfelt message.
He has to have one of those accounts where you can send multiple emails out at once because there's so many.
Oh God!
I do feel sorry for the old postman. See him staggering up the road.
Yeah. That's why it's great to have that BCC option on your email, isn't it? If you're sending out loads of.
God. Yeah, so next week we're going to it'd be nice to talk about romance comics. So yes. Let us know about some. Yeah, I know we've had a couple of recommendations, so I'm going to be reading some.
But, yeah, because I know fuck all about romance comics.
Yeah, we've been wanting to talk about it for a while, but it'd be
sounds awful.
Oh, Tony, get the Kenny G ready, baby. Get the Kenny G ready, baby, because I tell you what, next week's going to be a Tony Curtis film. Not Tony Curtis. Yeah. Is it Tony Curtis?
No.
Yeah, he does.
Who's the director?
Tony Curtis is
it? Richard Curtis.
Richard Curtis. Yeah, Tony Curtis would be a completely different.
Just dress up as women and play in a jazz band.
Oh my God! Some do like it hot, and it's going to be hot next week.
Yeah, baby.
So stay tuned. the coffee's probably kicking in. Thank you for listening, and thank you, Lise, for sticking with us week.
Good one. That was a good one.
You're an absolute star. Where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
NeverIronAnything.com, the hub for all my nonsense.
There you go, of which there's plenty. And it's all awesome. Dan, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at VanguardComic.com.
Boom.
And your Patreon, Vanguard.
Yeah, on the Patreon. I'm on it.
Yes. Yeah. Tony's on it like a club on it. Yeah. Go check it out at Patreon, at Vanguard Comic on Patreon.
Yes. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jester Diablo, and our wonderful guests, Lise Richardson. Where can they find you on the socials or your Patreon or your work, etc.?
Yeah, I'm Lise Richardson on Twitter, and Lise Richardson on Patreon, and Lise Richardson Art on Instagram.
Nice. Go forth, check it all out, and you won't regret it. So, wherever you are, read loads of comics, stay safe, stay healthy. We all love you. So keep doing what you're doing. I just want to share the love every week. I always like to leave on a high. Don't make it dirty. But we do. But we do love.
That's next week.
We do love you. Oh God, God. I perhaps I should get in touch with Jen Yilblad. Let's really.
Oh my God.
Let's do it.
Wheels. The brakes are off there.
Yeah.
Christ.
Let's go for it. thank you for listening. Go forth.
More of a parrot again.
Go forth. Read loads of comics, and wherever you are, we love you. From Dan, Tony, Lisa, and myself, have a great week. And as always, what should they do?
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
Lise, you're my hero.
Oh, I felt like I should join in.
You did. You did the right thing.
Yeah, you did the right thing.
It was such a lovely moment.
It was. Yeah.
What better way to sign off? Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.
They've been saying that about that. What's that? That audio thing that that Comic Smell put their podcast out.
What's that? SoundCloud. Wow.
Yeah, they've been saying that's meant to be ending for ages, as well, haven't they?
That's been years. They've been saying that about SoundCloud.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, well, SoundCloud. That's like the name of a fart. Oh dear! Sorry, well, I had to get that. I had to get that joke out there.
Tarby timing
before we started the actual
Jimmy
show.
Jimmy Tarbuck has not left the building.
Lise knows this is highbrow stuff that we talk about every week. So.